Okay, this is Jody Stone on the 3rd of December 1992 interviewing Jack Flynn at his home on Wells Hill Road in Lakeville. Jack, what's your whole name?
John J. Flynn.
What's J? Joseph?
Joseph.
Okay. You were born here?
Well, I was born in Sharon Hospital. I was actually in Lime Rock at the time I was born. My parents lived there.
What was your mother's name?
Mary Agnes Walsh. Her full name was Agnes Walsh Flynn, of course, after she got married.
And your father's name?
Peter J. Flynn.
So that's who your brother's named after?
Yeah, Peter's a junior.
What did your father do?
He was an automobile salesman.
Around here?
Well, he worked mostly for Dutchess Auto in Millerton. During the Depression, that era, and then he did work in Wasik, New York. Well, Stuart Klein, I think, owned the business then. They sold Fords.
Mm-hmm. And your mom was a housewife?
She was a nurse originally.
At the house at Sharon?
She worked at Sharon quite a bit, yeah.
You have a brother, Peter?
One brother.
Who else?
Three sisters.
Who are they?
Mary, Gertrude, and Patty.
Now, Mary, I remember from the Sharon Clinic. She married
George Cleveland.
Cleveland,
yeah.
Not related to Dick Cleveland.
Well, second cousins, I believe they are.
Okay. And next sister?
Gertrude.
What's her name?
Gertrude Hughes. She lives now in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
And next one?
Patricia, Patty.
Patty.
She lives in Montana.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So the only one that is distantly related would be George Cleveland. To Dick Cleveland. That's the only Cleveland connection. The other girls did not marry local people.
Yeah, Patty married Steve Stanton, who was
Whole Stanton family.
Of the Stanton family. Steve's father was a trooper in Kane and a state policeman. Quite well renowned in those days, but they lived in Orhill. Then, shortly after they were married, they moved to Florida, where he was a deputy sheriff down there. And then when he got through there, they moved to Montana.
And that's it.
And he has since died, but she still lives there. Mm-hmm. And her family's there with her.
And you married who?
Isabel Shattuck from Copaic.
And you have how many children?
Just one boy.
Who is the father of these two
boys? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. His name is John. In fact, he's a junior.
Okay. How did you get into your business?
Well, I was in radio and so forth in the war. That kind of got me going a little bit on...
You were in what, the Navy?
No, I was in the Air Force.
Air Force.
Yeah, I was in radar. Eventually in radar. I started out in radio and then I went into radar. Then after the war, I went to school in Hartford and studied electrical engineering. And I worked for GE for 5 years on power transformers. Then eventually I got into the construction business, residential more or less.
Did you always live here during all that?
Yeah.
And decided GE was not for you?
Oh no, I didn't like that inside stuff. It's a lot better working.
But you really work on your own, you work for yourself.
Oh yeah, for quite a few years, 38 years or so.
Now, when you lived in, you lived in Lime Rock when you were born.
Yeah, but I came here as a baby.
Here, this property here?
Well, right next door. This was part of the family property. This was a pasture when we were kids, right where we're sitting now.
So your father was a car salesman, but he was also a farmer?
Well, my grandfather owned this, what was a farm then. It was about 37 acres, I think, of all this area, all where Horseshoe Lane is and the house next door, which was our family home.
That pretty white farmhouse?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and of course we lived there until I got married. We built this place.
It was no longer a farm?
No, because my mother had sold off all of where Horseshoe Lane is. Hopper bought that and started development. And then where the little house was, Carol Little, which is up the road there, there was a house built there. So
it was gone.
There was no farm.
Yeah.
No, hadn't really been a farm much. Actually, about the time Pete and I went in the Army, that's when it broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting smaller anyway.
Mm.
When we were little kids, we used to farm it pretty good.
Do you have cows?
Had cows. I had horses. We worked with horses and pigs and chickens, and everybody had them then.
Were there a lot of farms up here on Wells Hill that when you were a kid?
There were, let's see, four. Frank Vales was the first.
Where was that?
That's where Dunham is now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first, coming from Lakeville. That was the first. Rose Hill Farm was the name of that one. And it was pretty big. Of course, that encompassed all of Robin Hill Lane, and then he bought property from Jerome, which was that big place across the road there.
No, where?
Well, remember Windsor Lewis?
Yeah, oh, all right. Yeah.
And, of course, eventually, all the property down where you live, down Woodland Drive, that was all his land. He owned an awful lot of land.
But not all farmed.
It wasn't all farmed. No, he farmed all Robin Hill Lane, though. That was all crops or hay or whatever. And then there was the next one up the road, of course, was Paul Cleveland, which was a big farm. That was Oakwood Farm.
Now, where was that?
That's where Ingersoll owns now, that barn, you know, on the corner. As you go through towards, you go past the watering kettle and go straight away on that, where that sharp corner is, big barn to the left.
Oh, that used to be Quality Farm.
No, that was Oakwood. Paul Cleveland was Oakwood.
So it's before?
Before Quality
Farm. Before Dilworth.
Before
that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you mean. All right, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Ben Cleveland, his son, eventually, he more or less took over the operation when Paul got older. And eventually he sold out and moved to Florida, and he raised cattle down in Florida. But he's since retired. Ben was my age. We were good friends. And then next to that was a farm which was Albro Sabin's originally. Before Dilworth. Dilworth bought land from Albro Sabin, built that big house.
Dilworth built that house.
A great big house. And then, of course, he updated the farm to the point where it was called Quality Farm. And that's when Jack Brzee was the herdsman there at that time. Because Albro Sabin wasn't that big. But he made milk, and he took it to the railroad station. And
in Lakeville?
Millerton. He used to go to Millerton with it. But then, of course, as things changed, trucks came in and everything. It was a lot simpler then. But by then, Albro was getting pretty old. And he, Mr. Dilworth came along at a good time.
Yeah.
And that was that for farms on the road.
Dirt road.
That was all the farms there were.
Oh, I mean, this was a dirt road.
Oh, yeah, it was all dirt, yeah.
Who was Wells?
Wells lived up... on Old Asylum Road, at the top of the very top of the hill.
Not Javalt's house.
No, up. You go north.
Yeah.
You go north from Javalt's towards Farnham Road. Right on the top of that hill was where the Wells property was.
No, the house no longer there.
No, they were. When we were kids, there was the name of the people there were Thorne. Thorne, and they owned quite a bit of property, of course, probably from the Wells era, across the road, which Paul Cleveland used to rent most of that property from them to use for hay and stuff. He eventually bought it. But the Thorne house is no longer there. They tore that down when Quayle, Quayle, built a house, which then was Emerson's. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, that was built by people by the name of Quayle. And when they built that, they tore the Thorne house down, which was a beautiful old house. God, that was but it was old, and I guess it wasn't feasible to fix it up, kind of let go for a year. She was getting pretty old. And then below, just below her was people by the name of Dr. Casper, which were more or less summer people, or weekenders, we call them now. But there weren't many houses up here then. But that's where Wells, that's Wells Hill.
That's Wells Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was influential in that racetrack, on Racetrack Road.
I was just going to ask you about that. I remember when I came here, soon after, we came here in 1949, and it must have been the mid-50s when Dr. Noble and a bunch of them got together and had harness racing.
Paul Cleveland was big in that,
it.
Too. Yeah. In fact, they used to go all over with those darn trotters. They loved it.
Now, wasn't Paul something of an inventor?
No. No, Paul, that wasn't Paul's end of the family. His son, George,
Maybe he's the one.
He's got a brain on him, you know, he can figure anything out.
He worked with Jim Vale, maybe at the Line Rock race.
Yeah, and of course, George was he was a good mechanic, and he worked on John Fitch's Maseratis and all that, and and of course, the racetrack, when that he and Jim got that going, why, that was right down his alley, because, boy, he loved that.
Very good at it.
He's a sharp cookie. But Paul Cleveland's wife was a traver. In fact, she had a brother that lived on Farnham Road, where it's George Stanton's house now. But he had a brother that was maybe the inventor that you're thinking of, because he was a great tinkerer and he didn't really care much about material things. All he liked to do was build things and make them, and that's probably what you're thinking of.
I think it was Jim Vale who might have told me about it, that he could do anything.
Well, George is that way. George, he's whether it's laying bricks or figuring out a faucet or the most intricate detail, he's just got it, you know.
Is he still with us?
Oh, yeah. He married my sister, Mary.
Oh, that George.
Yeah,
okay,
that's the George.
That George.
Yeah.
They live out in Ohio?
No, they live up in St. Regis Falls in New York State, way up near the Canadian border.
Ooh.
It's cold.
Yeah, I bet it's
and snowy.
Cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, grandparents, what were their names?
My maternal was Michael Walsh and Pequini. What was her first name? I don't really remember her first name. It was Pequini.
They were here? They were from here?
They were from here. Grandpa's father came over from Ireland. I'm not sure about the Pequini end of the family. They were French. The family was in Sharon. They lived in Sharon.
How do you spell that?
Pequini, Pequini. You know, my father's side, I never knew my grandfather or grandmother. They were deceased before I came.
Were they from here?
Well, my father's father worked in the mines in Orhill. So they had come over to work in the mines. That's how their Flynn family got in town.
Yeah. From Ireland.
They were from Ireland, yeah.
Along with the Finneys and God who knows who else.
Yeah, a lot of them. I guess that was a big thing, boy.
Oh, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Tembi Argyll told me that his grandfather, his mother's father, came over and was superintendent of the mine there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that, Deep Lake Farm.
Oh, yeah.
His grandfather was superintendent.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. His mother, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what else can I tell you?
That's anything you want to tell me. Where'd you go to school?
Well, we went to Lakeville. When we first started grade school, of course, it was down where the post office is now, only back further from the road. And then we went to what's now the lower building of the center school. We went there for 7th and 8th grade, and I started high school there. I went 2 years of high school, and then regional opened.
So you were practically the first graduate?
I was the second. Pete, my brother, was the first. I was a year behind him. We had school buses then. We rode the bus that once Regional opened. Up until then, it was you get to school the best way you could. We'd walk a lot of times, and sometimes my father would take us if he could. And Miss Paul Cleveland happened to be going with a truckload somewhere, but which was very rare because he was busy on the farm. But we walked a great deal of the time. Weren't supposed to ride bikes, so we didn't do that.
That's a hike from up here in the winter down there.
Mm-hmm. I froze my ear once. I remember that. I'll never forget that.
Were there any shortcuts?
Not really.
So.
Only through back of Burdick's, where they used to, we used to stop in the old sheds and look at the coffins. I remember that, coming down over the back woods there. Yeah, that was fun.
What were the stores that you remember?
Well,
where'd you go shopping for your mother?
Well, let's see, Heaton's was, that was one of them. Of course, eventually that was Barnett. It was A.H. Heaton when we were kids. That was right on the main street there where there was an A&P store was the first one in line. Then there was Heaton's. And then, of course, later Bessie's Lunch was underneath that one building there. And Paul Argo's Barbershop. It wasn't Paul Argos then, because he was still working for Chet Thurston on top of the hill as an apprentice, but that's where he eventually put his business. The Western Union was in there, too, in that building. Remember that? And then Dewforce Garage on the corner, and the Hub. Remember the Hub?
The Hub wasn't here in 49. It changed.
Oh, that's right. That was gone then. Was the Jigger Shop still here?
No.
That was... By the theater there, of course.
The Stewart Theater was there.
Yeah.
Because I was here that Christmas when it burned.
Yeah. And then between it was Godress's Market. Remember that one?
The Meat Market.
The Meat Market, yeah. That was.
With the big roll of paper in the window.
Yeah, that was it. In later years, Louis used to sit in the window, remember? But Jigger Shop, well, that was the kind of, we used to look forward to that. We used to caddy in the summer, Pete and I did anyway. Well, most of the kids from Lakeville, we'd go to Hotchkiss. And we'd always stop at the Jigger Shop on the way back and buy a Baby Ruth or something. So that Jigger Shop, that was a good spot.
So you were walking all this time when you went up to caddy? You walked.
Well, as we got older, we took our bikes up there. You know, we rode bikes. But it wasn't a bad walk from here because we used to go down through by your house practically. And you'd come out there where in the old bridle path, mm-hmm. by the barns, the horse barns, where McChesney kept his horses, remember?
I think you can still do that before the growth comes up. I think early spring you can come to walk back in there.
Yeah. They don't use it for a bridle path anymore.
I don't know. I see horses coming in and out of there from time to time. So I don't know, they must, because I see them crossing the road, you know, the Hotchkiss Road here, and then it crosses to go down the road.
Well, you know where they come from, though? They come down from Belcher's Way. They don't go through into Woodland Drive area, towards Woodland Drive anymore. They come down where the old trap chutes used to be, mm-hmm. from Belcher's. That's and then they come down that back road, back of the barn.
All right,
yeah.
And then across, and what, down to the lake?
Down the lake, yeah. And I don't know where they go from there.
Well, they, strange way to
I know it because they're kind of out of town. Yeah.
Really run down.
Not down there. No. I don't know where they go from there. I never figured that one out. I never spent too much time thinking about it. But
well, you know, you can still walk from Woodland Drive over to the Woodland Restaurant.
Over by Bernie Ling's.
Yeah. But the people who moved in there are weekenders, and they have some sort of, I don't know, automatic tennis ball thing there in a cage, so you have to kind of go when they're not here. And Jim Vail once in a while goes in and cuts it back.
Does he?
Yeah, you come right out into the back of the woodland.
Yeah.
So nice. Well, you know who discovered it? The Hotchkiss boys running.
Oh.
They're supposed to run all the way up the racetrack
uh-huh.
and Carlson down.
Yeah.
And they got back to the gym very early one day. And whoever was the coach thought it was quite strange that they were covered with brush and so on. So he went out the next day and timed them and said, you can't possibly have done it in that amount of time. And they confessed that they had found this shortcut.
Yeah. Did you talk to Jim?
Jim Vail?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
He probably had
a
lot.
He knows a lot about the area.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
But it was a very quiet town.
Yeah, did he tell you about the ski jump they used to build?
No.
Every year, we used to, as kids, Frank Vail and would build us a ski jump. Or, of course, he built it, but he maintained it. It was down on the peak there where Chapman's
mm-hmm.
house is now. It was right there, actually a little beyond Chapman's, almost to where Gaffney's living, Harry mm-hmm. Blaney's old house there. But we used to call it the peak, and we'd always go down there and jump. And I'm surprised Jim didn't tell you
now,
about that.
Where did you jump to? Toward what's now Jim Vail's house?
No, we used to jump towards Charlie Berry's.
Wow.
You'd almost, when you came down the hill, you'd be in
you
Charlie Berry's yard.
Yeah,
that's where we'd end up. But of course, it was a lot. There weren't as many trees then. And the hill we had was a good shape. And we used to, sometimes we had to jump over here on where Dottie Smith's is.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean her house?
Her house, okay. Yeah. And you'd go down the back way there. And that was pretty good, too. It wasn't quite as steep, but he used to build a little bigger tower there for us.
You were all kids, you all grew up skiing then?
Oh, yeah. Well, we used to go out at night, good gosh, in a moonlight night. We had trails all through here. Of course, there wasn't anybody around, you know, and wherever you wanted to go, you went. It didn't bother anybody. And yeah, moonlight nights, we used to go out and have these trails, and it was fun.
Oh, I
don't get that now. And we used to slide to town on our sleds then, because they didn't plow the roads. They were hard packed. We could get on the sled at Lufkin's is, could ride right clean to town. Nobody in your way.
You must once, have gone so fast.
Oh, you went like heck. But once you got to the church, then you could hop off mm-hmm. the side road on the sidewalk and just keep right on going. And, of course, it took half the day to get back. And then another one, we used to go over and back of Lufkin's. And it go down through the woods. We had a trail down through the woods, and he'd come way down on Farnham Road. And that was probably a little more fun because there was a lot of trees and stuff, but it wasn't hard packed like the road. So you couldn't really use a sled with the little narrow runners. It didn't work too well.
But when you say the roads were hard packed, how do you get around? Certainly not with a car with hard packed snow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you had to be careful. But that's why people knew how to drive, because you had no choice. You either had to learn how or walk.
When did they start plowing?
Well, the plowing wasn't the bad thing. Was the sanding. That's when everything got ruined, sand and salt. I don't remember. I suppose probably wartime or maybe a little after. Of course, this stuff goes back to 36, somewhere in that era, you know, so things were a lot different then. But that was fun.
Do you remember any of the inns, that inn it isn't even a structure anymore, that was in Lakeville? When we first moved here, it was still up.
The Gateway?
Yes, I think so, across from Doc Liberty's, kind of.
Yeah.
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 Was the Gateway.
Gateway, yeah. Well, of course, the Gateway Annex. The Gateway Annex is where what's her name? Well, there's apartments there now.
Eileen Mulligan.
Eileen Mulligan's one of them. Lives there. Dempsey's owned it at one point. But yeah, that was the annex to the Gateway. And of course, the Gateway was where that apartment building is now, next to. Used to be Harry Ablahadi and run a bus thing. Remember that? That's where the Gateway stood. Oh, I remember the buildings.
What happened to it? Just got old and...
No business.
Nobody kept it up.
Nobody kept it up. Just got run down. They eventually tore it down, but I don't ever remember any fire or anything in there.
But at one time, it was a summer resort.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, overlooking the
overlooking lake. Overlooking the lake, yeah. That was a prime...
And there was no grove then, was there?
You no.
Just went to the lake.
That's all, yeah. Of course, the flume was still there, and the little pond where you skate now, there was there, but it wasn't as large as it is now.
Wasn't there a swinging bridge?
Yep, there was. There was, yeah. That went from the Gateway property over. Yeah, you must remember that.
I remember that bridge swinging back and forth.
Yeah, because that hadn't been really gone too awful long.
You'd be amazed. It's probably been gone 40 years.
Well. Yeah, and of course, Wake Robin, that hasn't changed much. They've monkeyed around a little, but
it's still there.
It's still there, and it's basically the same as it was, except they added that little motel wing down the end.
And the Interlochens had many lives.
Yeah, that was a pretty active place.
So those were really the three here in town.
Yeah.
The three
in the White Hart. But that's Salisbury.
Yeah, that's Salisbury.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I remember. Well, Lime Rock Lodge.
Oh, I remember that place.
Of course, that's a little out of here, too, but yeah, that was a pretty nice place and big.
Did you have the parades when you were a kid? Did you have the Fireman's Parade and the 4th of July business and walking to the cemetery? And
We had parades, but I remember going to Salisbury to stand and watch them. But just what they were for, I would hate to say, but they were probably the same as they are now, I imagine. 4th of July, and at least now they have Memorial Day, mm-hmm. and the 4th, and others.
Do we have a parade on the 4th? I don't know that we do anymore.
I don't think so anymore. I remember we
used to have them, because the kids would put red, white, and blue papers in their bikes, folks.
Yep. Yeah, right.
No, we had the picnic at the Grove.
Yeah. And we used to have carnivals.
The firemen.
Well, I guess the firemen probably sponsored them in those days, yeah. But they were pretty good. It was a little bit different theme. I guess the same place everywhere now, that carnivals aren't like they were. But they used to come for a week. Boy, that was a big deal. I had quite a time at them.
Well, now, of course, you lived here. You didn't really do much with Salisbury, did you, as a child? It was another world.
Salisbury?
You know?
Yeah, they were always the opposing team in baseball and anything else you wanted to play, Halloween. But, yeah, we didn't really get into Salisbury too much. We did go up there at the ski jump, and we monkeyed around there with that kind of stuff, but other than that, no. In fact, most of the fellows from Lakeville caddied at Hotchkiss School, and the fellows from Salisbury caddied at Hobnob. You know, it was a geographical thing. And
Of course, now you just whip back and forth in your car, but then that was the distance.
Yeah, you didn't. Until you had a bike, you were really restricted, and the bike's only good in the summer. But,
did you ever walk the tracks?
Oh, yeah. Put pennies on them. And we used to walk the trestle. Remember that old trestle?
He came down about a year after we moved here.
Yeah, that was too bad.
Yeah.
Well, they took them all down, didn't they?
Yeah.
And now they're going to move the station.
Yeah, sometimes.
Huh?
Sometimes.
I just assume they didn't. But
I know.
But might as well take it down if they're going to move it.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But they need the space.
Yeah.
For spin-off, you know, they take care of so many people in town.
Oh, I know it.
We're lucky we've got them. Well, my dear, have you got anything else you want to tell me?
No, Jim probably told you about all the cars we used to monkey with when we were kids, didn't mm-hmm. he? Of course, George was, he was a little older and he was a little more mechanically minded than any of the rest of us, but we... All us kids, I think, had cars from one time or another, old Model Ts and things. You could buy them for $2, you know. And we had a, out here, we had a track around here. In fact, when we built this house, which was many years after the Model Ts, you could still see that track. And we didn't have much gas because we didn't have any money to buy gas, but we would walk all the way to town, buy a gallon of gas, walk all the way back, put it in the Model T, and just have a ball till it ran out. And if it broke down, if we couldn't fix it, George generally could. But and then down in where you live now, Jim and George, they had tracks every which way. They just had a ball down there. That's where Jim got the idea for the racetrack, I'm sure, was down there. And they did buy a car and cut it down, you know, cut the fenders off it. It was a lot of fun, and no harm done at all. No one ever, that I ever remember, ever got hurt or smashed into a tree or, but we used to be able to, at that time, we could go from here and go over to Town Hill. Then you'd go by Belcher's house where Blagdon's are now, and you'd go out through there and go up that dirt road, and you'd be on the road to Sharon. You know, if you were real risque, you could cross the road and go down Long Pond Road, because everything was dirt then, you know, and the policemen weren't around in such force. And well, you needed a lot of gas. They had to make sure you had enough gas to get back. But it was those were the good old days, yeah, for that.
That road that I think they now call it for the 911 number, Town Hill Road, that goes up to the Blagdons.
Yeah, that's Town Hill Road.
That's the road you're talking about. At one point, it did cut through past whatever that lake is on the left going to Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
It did go there, didn't it?
Yep, yeah. In fact, if you go to Tom Blagdon's now, and when you get to his place, you take mm-hmm. a sharp mm-hmm. left. Mm-hmm. Well, it used to go right straight ahead and went down to the lower side of that field. And then you'd go down through that field, and you'd get to that area where that pond is, and then you'd go back up the hill, back towards Sharon.
Yeah, I thought so, because it seems to me, years ago, I saw a sign there saying, road discontinued.
Yeah, it was a town road, yeah.
Who owns all that huge amount of land there?
I honestly don't know, but I suppose some of it's probably Blum's, and I would think some of it's Blagdon's.
Yeah,
and probably they butt together.
So if you walked, you could still do it. You could walk through it.
Well, landowners,
but with approval,
agreeable.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, I think you're probably good. I'm sure the roadbed and stuff is still there. Yeah, been years since I was over that way, but
why'd they abandon it?
Well, there's no reason for having it, really. Yeah, it's like the one over that went by Willie Belter's, you know, up over the hill to Falls Village. It's, pretty hard to maneuver, and no one used it. This cost a lot of money to keep it.
Well, we've still got racetrack.
Yeah.
Our dirt road in Dark Hollow.
Yeah, Dark Hollow. Of course, they close that in the winter.
In the winter, yeah.
Probably a good thing. Well.
That's it?
I guess so.
Okay, my dear, thanks a million.